I had the honor of hearing a friend of mine give a lesson on the book of Thessalonians in January, and that was also written by Paul, by the way, and what he had to say about it has stayed with me since that time, and I just wanted to share with you the words that he had begun the lessons with. Basically, he was saying that the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians is about this church that became a model of what the Church of Jesus Christ should be. And he was saying, that, I mean, if you read the first chapter of Thessalonians, you know what I'm talking about. Things come out like they were idol worshipers, and they were transformed by Jesus Christ, and they served him in joy. Even though they were afflicted, they were serving in joy. And they became such an example of faith that they were known not only to the people in Macedonia and Achaia, but also beyond. Their example went all over, and they were known for these reasons. And my friend is from Bermuda, by the way, and he was saying that he was concerned about the church today when he started reading that. But he said, you know, it sounds to me like the church in Thessalonica was a church that knew what teamwork was about, and they really worked together in response to what Christ had done for them and in wanting to get the gospel out and to show what their faith was about. And then he said this, and this is the thing that stayed with me. He said, looking at the church in the world today, sometimes you have to wonder if we're even on the same team. So think about that for a moment. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in a strong way today. Because it is your Holy Spirit that we need, Lord. Not the spirit of our own beings, but the one that the Holy Spirit represents and is to us. An encourager, a comforter, one who teaches us, dwells in us, is connected with Christ in heaven, and reflects what the Father wants us to know. Speak to our hearts, Father. Give us those things that you want us to know through your Holy Spirit today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Japan is on our minds a lot. I know that there are other places on our minds as well today. It gets to be a little bit overwhelming when you wake up and you hear that there's a war breaking out in Libya that the West is involved in. Stephen also mentioned Pakistan. Uncle Jonathan spoke to us during the Alien Fellowship about Haiti and all of the places like Indonesia and China still suffering from earthquakes and all over the place. Not to mention here, where we live, flood victims nearby, our neighbors close by here in New Jersey. Of course, their devastation doesn't compare perhaps to that of Japan, but there's still things going on around us. And it really causes us to stop and think about what life is about. Because Japan seems to be the big one in the news these days, at least for now, it's interesting to see some of the responses that have gone around. Some people have been saying that we're due. Have you heard that one? That it's soon going to be our turn in this area. What would we do if it were to hit us? And I think that's a really excellent question. Maybe they were trying to take advantage of the whole thing and make news. I don't know, but I still think it's a really good question. What if it were to hit us today in this area? And it could. Another thing that I heard that seems to be very popular is that God is judging Japan for its past sins. And I also find that one really interesting, that God is judging the Japanese and has brought this on them for their past sins. There's a lot of different things going around, but I think it's good for us as a Church of Jesus Christ to consider what we think. What does it mean? all these different things. And people in the Alien Fellowship have put it much better than I could today, but I just want to share some of the things that God has been speaking to me about, and then we'll get to the scripture as soon as possible. The immediate thought that I had when I heard about Japan, I saw the devastation and all of the people suffering in such a big way, is how small our problems are in comparison. And you know, in the church, we oftentimes lose our focus. It's real easy to stop thinking that we're on the same team. We judge one another. We talk badly about one another. We argue and fight with one another. We complain about people. We totally forget that God is there and that we profess to be Jesus, people of Jesus Christ. We forget what we're here for. You know, and when I heard about the tsunami and I saw those people dying, that's what came into my mind. It really hits you and makes you realize how fortunate you are to have what you have. You know, and I hate to say it, but I thought of King Hezekiah. And I think there's a little bit of King Hezekiah in us. He was a good king, but he was also a king who sinned once he had been given extra time to live by God. You remember him? And his response, when God said he was going to punish him by bringing this judgment on his next generation, not his life, but the generation to come, his response was pretty much, oh good, it's not me. It's going to touch the other generation after me, but I'm not going to be affected. And isn't there a little bit of that in us? When we see other people suffering, that we think, oh good, it's not us? But as Christians, we shouldn't be thinking like that. Because we are people who are called to action in the name of Jesus Christ, and we are called to look at ourselves. And so I think what comes out of this for me is to think, what is my attitude like? And what should my attitude be? And what does God expect from me now, here where I'm living, in response to something like this for people that live so far away? Another thing that I think is really important, and I think it comes out of this, is that we need to be repentant. We need to be repentant of our sin. We need to change. We need to turn around. And we need to seek God in a way that is more intense than we have been. You know, it wakes you up. And I think that that's a really good thing. My friend who spoke about the lack of teamwork in the church today was actually concerned in a good way. He's hoping that people will hear that message and turn around and stop acting like that and become a team. You know. And so the other thing that comes out of this repentant heart is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us in ways that we normally don't hear it because our heart is open to it. And so we need to pray for hearts that are soft and are open to the Holy Spirit to speak to us. I don't think it's a time to say the Japanese deserve this, they're being judged by God. I think it's time for us to say, we have sinned, God, and we are unworthy, except that Christ has given us grace and has made us worthy. And an extension of that, I think that's really important, is that we can look to help people that are in need. And there are certainly ways that we can help, and one of them is in your bulletin. There's a website there that we can send money to support the church in Japan or other places. I mean, there's a number of places in need, and we can certainly do that, and we should. And we are. But I think that there's a more important way, and I think that that's what God is trying to speak through this scripture today. Let's turn to it, okay? Turn to Philippians. This verse comes from the ESV, and I prefer it over the NIV just because of the fact that it points out a couple of things. It says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And I want you to consider, is this our church today? And what does it mean for you? We're all widespread ages, and we oftentimes go by each other in the church, and we don't really speak very much. We might be polite, and we don't really talk about these kind of things, but this is the message for us today. And so it has to change us from looking at ourselves as being individuals in a church that comes here and start to thinking of ourselves as a family, as a team, and ones that works together for the purpose of the gospel, for the faith of Jesus Christ. And that is going to draw us together. It's time for us not to be distracted by problems, because that is not appropriate. It's not appropriate for a church to feel that they can do that kind of thing and get away with it. It's not appropriate. The message that we want to send is the one that the Thessalonican church sent, which is their joy is in Christ Jesus, and he is the Redeemer of the world. And they want to be known for those kind of a thing. Okay? So remember this verse, and remember the part where it says, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. That's what we need to be doing. And that's going to extend into people being called, just like we were singing about in the songs. Paul is a fascinating person. I'm teaching the children's Bible study, Sunday school, and we were talking about him today a little bit, going through the same, like through chapter 2 of Philippians. And he was this person writing them from prison because he was a Christian. And he saw that as a victory. So that tells you something about the man. He saw his imprisonment as a victory for Christ. He was saying in the beginning, the middle of that first chapter, he said, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. Verse 12, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? He sees his imprisonment for the sake of Christ as victory, because other people are learning about Jesus Christ through that, and God used that for his own glory. But it took Paul being willing to step out in faith and doing that and proclaiming Christ, being willing to suffer for the sake of the gospel in order to reach this point. And he writes the people in this church and he says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you, that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened of your opponents. And this is a man who knows what he's talking about. He didn't fear what man could do to him. And I'm sorry, but I think that's what most of us think. What if God were to say to you today, I want you to go with your family. I want you to pick up and I want you to go to Japan. Right? So oftentimes this really is actually underlining something that we need to remember. And I think that the rest of this whole section is very good for us to spend some time on in our personal devotions. We oftentimes hear that we are to believe in Jesus Christ because he is our Savior and that he has forgiven our sins. But we don't often hear that we are supposed to suffer for it. Because suffering is a word that we want to avoid. But that is what we are called to. And that is part of our belief in Jesus Christ. If we don't understand that, then we don't understand what Christ is about. Right? And if we want to learn more about how we are supposed to strive together like this, and how we are supposed to change, then we have to know more about Jesus Christ, just like Michael was saying. And that's exactly what Paul does. He points us in his direction. If you look at chapter 2, he goes through this whole amazing section of Scripture and says, have this mind. You want to be one mind, one spirit, then have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. He even talks about it being granted to us, that suffering is granted to us as though it is a privilege. Right, that we share in this with Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not account equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, Being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's the mind that we should have. Makes you feel kind of uncomfortable, doesn't it? What does that mean? I have to change where I'm going to live? I have to do all these different kind of things? Maybe. What does Christ mean to you? If you think that it means that you can believe in God and you can go to church and you can just kind of go along and you can say, I'm saved, and, you know, it's too bad about those other people in the world, you know, it's, yeah, you know, I just really feel bad about that. That's just not what it's about. God is saying to you that I have given you my Son and this grace, and you are to live that way. You are to have this mind in you like in Christ Jesus, and that means humbling ourselves. And I think that really what we need to do is we need to pray. We need to pray. If you feel uncomfortable, if you feel comfortable, and that makes you feel uncomfortable when you hear something like this, then what you need to do is pray, because you can't get the strength yourself, and the call is not going to come of yourself. You have to examine your heart and see where it stands, and what do you react like, and what do you do when you see people who are suffering in the world? And I'm not just talking about people who have lost their homes. I'm talking about people who are dying because they don't know Jesus Christ. There are 126 million people in Japan, and there is less than 1% who are Christians. 126 million people in this country. And they don't know Christ. And that is the biggest problem that they are facing right now. It isn't the tsunami. It isn't all of the devastation. But that is being used, I believe, by God to wake us up and to get us going and to realize what our purpose is. And I really believe that this verse is for us in this verse 27, that we are to stop complaining, stop getting distracted by problems that we are facing, and center ourselves side by side on the cross of Jesus Christ and say, that is where we are going to go. And if anybody says, I want to get off from that path, then you say, you need to be on that path, brother. You're off the path, and you're getting off that way, and you need to center yourself in the mind of Christ. And if what you're telling me by trying to cause problems or issues that are sidelining us as a group, as a team, from that goal, then you need to have a talk with God and repent. And so God is calling us today to consider ourselves no longer as individuals, no longer as people who have the right to complain or to cause problems or to distract the church from its purpose, which is to spread the news of the gospel to all people, and to get on track and to put our minds on Christ and to think the way that he was doing. And you know what will happen if you do that? You start to show joy like this man who was in prison and said, yeah. And then you start to understand scripture where Jesus says, count it a blessing when you are persecuted for my sake. All the scripture starts to fall into place and you start to say, oh yeah, that's what that means. That's what that means. Now I get it. That's why Jesus said that. I had no idea when he said that. Why would I want to be persecuted? Why would anybody want to be harmed for the sake of that? Because you don't know Jesus, man. You didn't understand that that part of him is the part that's missing from your life. We have not come very close, I think, in understanding the blessing that comes when you give your life completely to Christ and say, I will go anywhere you tell me to, at any time, at whatever price, because of what you did for me. When you do that, just wait. Just wait to see what will happen. I want to tell you a story about a woman that I heard speak in Urbana last year. She was a very slight, kind of a cute lady. I don't know where she's from originally. She couldn't tell her name because she was afraid that she'd be killed when she returned to Afghanistan to do her mission work. And they said, please don't videotape. we can't put this online or anything like that because we're afraid that she might be killed. And she was this little lady, and she got up in front of us, and she was actually quoting Bob Dylan. She was fun. You know, she was a really, really nice lady and very, very cute and stuff like that. And you know what? She told us this crazy story. And the story goes like this. It's a true story. In Afghanistan, where she and her husband were living, she was probably in, I would say she's in her 50s, maybe 60s. They moved over there, and they went to this completely isolated part of Afghanistan, and they started to live there. And if I get the story right, they had been living there for some time, and the people that were living in that town really didn't want much to do with them, and they didn't want to listen about Jesus Christ. And then one day, the Taliban showed up, and they came with force. They had these rifles and some kind of arms. I don't know what they had, but they wanted her, and they wanted her husband. And word got around that they were coming, and the mayor of the town gathered a force of people from that town to meet the Taliban at the border of the town and said, "These people live here in our town, and you get out of here." And you know what they did? They left. When they were forced, when they were met by this force from the townspeople where the missionaries lived, and they said, "We will not let you come here, and we will follow you until we cannot see you anymore." And that's what they did. They followed them out until they were so far gone that they couldn't see them anymore. And then they returned, and they went to the missionary and his wife, and they apologized, and they said, "We're very sorry that this threat came to you and that these people have insulted you in this way. And we'd like to use this opportunity to invite you to our home and listen to what you have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, go figure. We really don't have any idea of the courage, but it's not really courage. It's a better understanding, I think, of who Jesus is that these people possessed. We need to consider who Jesus is and what he means to us today. And we need to come together like a team. We need to love one another the way that Jesus has taught us. But I'm not talking about loving one another in the sense like a temporary kind of nice feeling thing. I'm talking about commitment to one another and believing that God can use us as a church to further his gospel in this world so that we can make the difference that is necessary in people's lives like those of the people in Japan and the people in Mexico who are being threatened by drug people all the time and are losing their lives, and the police are giving up and hanging up their guns and saying, "We can't deal with this anymore, and those are our neighbors," and all that kind of stuff. And those are the places where God can come in and change lives. But it takes a readiness, and I think what it takes is a better understanding of this scripture and what Jesus has done. Most importantly, in this whole part of this chapter 2, I think, is the from verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name. He died. He humbled himself. He became nothing. And therefore, because of this, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I think it's enough to think, when we think about these things that have happened around the world and are going to be happening, it's a good time for our church now to gather as one with one heart and one mind, and that we stand together in this struggle, that we recognize that we are called to struggle, that we are called to humble ourselves against a world that is evil and is more than willing to persecute people of faith like ours. And what our response must be is, we don't care, because Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he has saved my life, and he is the only hope for this world. And because of that, we will stand united behind his name, and we will proclaim it. And they can imprison us, and they can shoot us, and they can harm us, and they can threaten us, and they can come with machine guns into the town that we live in and put them to our heads, but we don't care, because Jesus Christ is exalted highly. And he's more powerful. And not only that, but he loves me. And because he loves me, I love him. And because he loves me, I love my brothers and my sisters. And I don't care what they've done to me, and I don't care how I'm wronged, but I'm going to love them anyway. And I don't care how messed up my family is, or what my past is, or what's going on in my life, I'm giving it all to Jesus, and I'm going to let him be exalted. Amen? I'm going to let him be exalted, because he is highly exalted, not because of what I have done, but because I recognize that there's only one way that I can live. There's only one way for me to go, and only one path to go down, and that is his way. It is Jesus Christ who is the hope of this world. It is Jesus Christ who is the hope of Japan and of China and of Taiwan and New Jersey. He is the hope of the world, and we must stand as one, or we don't belong to him at all. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We pray for forgiveness. We ask you, Lord, to change our hearts and give us, Lord, what we need so that we can learn to humble ourselves like Christ did. Use us, Lord. Search our hearts. And if it be possible, Lord, that you could use broken vessels like these for your glory, so be it. Raise up missionaries in this church. And those who are not missionaries, help us to stand side by side in support of those missionaries. And to use the full force of all that you have gathered in your name in this church, so that not one ounce of energy would be wasted on useless things, but that our efforts would be directed toward your gospel. That we wouldn't waste time on distractions and things and petty arguments and things that distract us, but that we would see you before us, so that we as a church can be known like the church in Thessalonica, Lord, one of faith that goes beyond these places that we live on and is heard across the world, that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords and our Savior. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.